Good morning. My name is Josh Romo, and I'll be preaching a sermon this morning. In all seriousness, I'm glad to be home. Glad to be back with you once more and be able to be with our church family. Rick, if I'm not mistaken, began a series last week entitled Sticks and Stones. To my knowledge, this particular series originated with Brother Michael Light, and I'm hoping that Rick and I can do this series justice as we go through it over the next few Sundays. I believe it's a four-part series, and a series that I'm looking forward to preaching and studying with you together. Sticks and stones. How often have we heard that saying? I know I heard it several times growing up. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Friends, I don't know about you, but I don't think there's probably in our society today, there's not a bigger lie ever told. While sticks and stones may indeed break our bones, friends, words can cut just as deep. They can hurt us just as badly. They can cause us just as much harm and cause us, friends, to do ourselves harm. You see, friends, vice wears a mask. Now, what I mean by vice, friends, if you'll look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that vice is an evil, degrading, or immoral practice or habit. It is wicked or evil conduct or habits. Friends, what we're going to talk about this morning when we talk about our words is gossip. If you noticed our bulletin this morning, the title of the sermon is Sticks and Stones. Are you a gossip? Are you a gossip? Now, friends, vice wears a mask. It is an evil, gossip is an evil, degrading, and immoral practice. Sin, as it usually does, promises us pleasure, doesn't it? And as we'll talk about a little bit later this morning, a gossip, friends, gets a little bit of pleasure from talking about others. They get a high from it, as research has shown. But friends, the truth about sin, the truth about gossip, is that it's a canker. It's a cancer. And it eats away at us slowly, and it eventually kills us. Sin goes in disguise like Judas, doesn't it? I know that you've come across people, as I have, that'll smile to your face, but the minute that your back is turned, they're biting all over it. They put a knife in your ribs, and then they twist it. Sin goes in disguise like Judas. It'll kiss and then kill. Now, friends, as we talk about this particular subject this morning, and as we ask the question, are you a gossip, friends, we're going to be pretty blunt. And as Brother Light said, as he was preaching this sermon, this particular series, he was going to be pretty blunt this morning, like the homeowner who heard an intruder. And he told that intruder, friend, I would not hurt you for the world, but I'm about to shoot where you're standing. Friends, if some of the things that we have to say this morning hurt your feelings, I hope it's a good indicator to you that some changes need to be made. I'm not going to apologize for what God's Word has to say on this serious matter of being a gossip and a busybody, or a blabaholic, as it were. Now, friends, we have a problem in this world. And sadly, we have a problem in the brotherhood. About two-thirds, as research has shown, about two-thirds, let that sink in for a minute, two-thirds, some 66% of all conversation is gossip. You want to sell a book? Make it a tell-all. Make it one where you're going to dish the dirt on someone or maybe even yourself or something else. Make it a tell-all if you want to sell a book, a nonfiction. That is, you go look at the New York Times bestsellers list. And you look at how many autobiographies or biographies, as it were, that in the title or as a subtitle or as a description of the book, it has in it a tell-all story. Now, friend, you know what often happens as you actually do the research on what this tell-all story is all about? Is that half of what's said ain't true. This is put in there to sell books. As I said a moment ago, a person that likes to gossip, they get a high off of it. You see, research has shown that gossip releases serotonin. The friend, serotonin causes a heightened state of euphoria. It's the same thing, it's the same drug within our body, as it were, that cigarettes releases. Alcohol releases it. Drugs, recreational drugs release it. And friends, to get a high, these gossip from the phone. Or they get in a group of friends and say, "Do you know what I just heard?" Friends, the Bible is plain about gossips. The Bible is plain about, as I said a moment ago, blabaholics, as it were, one who wounds with his words. You see, the Proverbs writer tells us in Proverbs 10 and verse 18 that he's a fool. Proverbs 11 and verse 9 calls the gossip a hypocrite. Proverbs 6 and verse 19 says the gossip sows discord. He causes division by saying what's not true. Luke 6 and verse 45, Jesus says that the gossip has an evil heart. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15 refers to the gossip as a busybody. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13 says that he's idle. He's got nothing better to do. Romans 1, 29 and 30 lists those that are backbiters, lists those that are gossips, right there with thieves and murderers. Friend, think about that for a moment. Before we go and tell another juicy tale, what if that crime, that sin, as it were, carried with it the same weight as one who was caught in a bank robbery or murder? God doesn't differentiate between them. A person that is a gossip, friends, is no better than a thief or murderer, as Paul writes to the Romans. Psalm 5 and verse 9 says that gossip is an open grave. In Matthew 12 and verse 36, let's turn to that passage for a moment. Matthew 12 and verse 36. Notice what Jesus says here. "But I say unto you that every idle word," what does he say? Every idle word. "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Friends, what does Jesus tell us? We will stand before our God and Father. We will stand before our Creator and we will answer, we will give account for the damage that our words have done in this life. We haven't thought too much about that, have we? That before I say something, that I'm going to have to give an account to my God about what I'm about to say. Maybe if we thought about that more often, maybe if we kept that in our minds, we wouldn't say half the stuff we said. We wouldn't be dishing out all these juicy tales. Friends, as we study, as we look at this particular problem, I want you to think about a gossiper's face. It's often gloomy, isn't it? You know, I'm mindful, reminded, rather, as I began to study for this particular sermon, and gossiping. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Disney movie Bambi, but I had the pleasure of being able to play Thumper in my first grade play. And I can tell you the only line that I remember from that play, and pretty much the only line and word other than Twitter pated from that movie that I really remember, is Thumper's line after his mother got on to him for not being very nice with his words. She reminded him of what his father had told him, which was, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing, as Thumper said, at all. Friends, oftentimes when a person begins to gossip, while their face may light up with joy, their life and their face in reality is gloomy. Isaiah said in Isaiah 50 and verse 11, all who kindle fire shall lie down in sorrow. What good really comes of it? Friends, the gossip dishes dirt. But they themselves are usually miserable, insecure, jealous. They suffer from low self-esteem, sad people. They have sad faces and they live sad lives. Gossip is their only escape. And to them, it's like a pyromaniac with fire. They talk just to watch folks burn. What about those that associate with such folks? The gossiper's associates, friends, or groupies as it were, we might refer to them like buzzards, circling a carcass as the gossip spins a rotten tail and draws this crowd. You see, the gossip is the informant. And it makes them feel important. They have this sense of power. But you know, the thing is that if I sit and listen to it, I'm just as guilty. I've shown that my big ears have a penchant for what their big mouth is going to say. Friends, we ought not be an associate of a gossip. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13 concerning the gossiper's schedule. He says, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not. Now, friends, think about this for a moment. And I want you to think about this in all seriousness. Did you know that gossip can also be something that's true? Gossip can also be something that's true. Before we go from house to house and pick up the phone calling number after number to tell about what we've just heard, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Number one, is it true? And of course, if it's not, it ought not be spread. Number two, if it is true, will it build up or tear down? If it will build up, fine. But friends, if it's going to tear down, no matter how true the words may be, we had better keep them to ourselves. Because oftentimes, when we talk about the brotherhood in particular, oftentimes, we're talking about another brother or sister. And friends, that ought not be named among brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That should not happen. We ought to love one another enough not to do such things. But these folks, they learn to be idle. They have nothing better to do, so I'll go over here to Johnny and I'll tell him what I've just heard, and then I'll go from there over here to Mary Lou's and I'll tell her, and I'll go over here to John Brown's and I'll tell him too. And before you know it, it may be true, like I said again. Have you ever played the game gossip? You ever heard of that game? A blue fox drove a blue truck down to Blueville and got a red satchel. If we started that over here, I whispered in Rick's ears, and he whispered it then in the Mona's, and then she whispered next to the person, and we waited till we got all the way back here to this corner. See, I can't even remember what I just said. But I guarantee you it wouldn't be the same when it got back there. Friends, we need to be careful when it comes to gossip. When we talk about the gossip schedule, notice what he tells Timothy. They're idle. They go from house to house. But they're not only idle, but they're gossip. They're busybodies. Saying things they ought not. Friends, quite frankly, industrious people, they don't have time to gossip. They're too busy to gossip. They don't go about looking in other folks' windows. But friends, babblers, folks that like to gossip, I can almost guarantee you they're going to have a dirty house. They're not going to be very clean. They're not going to have time for church work, but their phone is always busy. You can't ever get a hold of them. And they dish out the gossip. What about the gossiper's words? One particular quote that I like is that you can tell more about a person by what he says about others and then by what others say about him. You can tell more about a person by what he says about others than by what others say about him. Matthew chapter 26. Peter is there as our Lord is put on trial. And three times he denies our Lord. The third time that he denied the Lord, the reason that he denied him is because someone recognized that his speech was either one of Galilee or it betrayed him as being a follower of Christ, one or the other. In either case, notice what happens here. The person says, I know you're with this man because your speech betrays you. I can tell by what you say. And so to get himself as far away from Jesus as possible, what does Peter do? He begins to curse and say, I know not the man. But his speech betrayed him. Friends, a gossiper's words will betray him. And you'll know whether or not he's a gossiper by his words. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, I love Solomon's words here. He says, let your words be few. Friends, it's often been said that we have two ears for listening, one mouth for talking. Which one's more important? You've got two ears for listening. We ought to be doing more listening than we are talking. We ought to be listening to God's Word on this particular matter. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says that talebearers' words are like tasty trifles. Friends, a gossip makes a plate of dirt look like a steak. Think about that for a minute. A gossip makes a plate of dirt look like a steak. Friends, we should not be taken in, but the words are evil. As Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 45, the words are evil and they come from an evil heart. So what do? We can put a label on the labelers, can't we? Think about this for a minute. Sun Tzu, I believe he was the Chinese writer that wrote The Art of War. It's a book that's been followed by many a general for many a year. But in that book, he says something pretty profound that I believe was written first in the Bible. Don't you? Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Didn't Peter say in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 to be wary, to be vigilant, to stay awake, be aware of your surroundings? Why? Because the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Know your enemy. Friends, we need to know and realize that gossipers come in all shapes and sizes. Proverbs 1 and verse 9 says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Someone that I thought was my neighbor, someone that I thought was my friend can tear me down. I need to realize that. They come in all shapes and sizes. But the gossiper, friend, lives in fear of being unmasked. Like a vampire afraid of the night. Afraid of the daylight, rather. He lives in fear of being unmasked. He whispers because he's a coward. He stabs the person in the back because he's a coward. Romans 1 and verse 30. He's a backbiter. I won't say it to your face, but I'll say it the minute your back is turned. And oftentimes I do it in a whisper. Friends, when we begin to gossip, we become something unbecoming in appearance and behavior. When we begin to gossip, we don't look like Christ. You see, they see, the gossip does, what they want to see, and then they label it. They'll call someone stupid. They'll say something about someone being crazy, or they'll call someone a liar, or a cheat, or a slut, or a thief, or a snob. They play politics, if you will. You know, it sickens me every election year just about to listen to these politicians. Because many times as you listen to their speeches, rather than telling you what they can do for their community, what they can do for their state, what they can do for their country, what are they doing? This person over here is a scumbag. This person over here did something when he was a teenager, and he's now 45 years old. This person over here ran from a firefight when he served in the military as an 18-year-old. This person over here did this, this. You see, their philosophy is to vilify, and at least some of it will stick. There's a case, and I'm not making a judgment of this case one way or the other, but there's a case in college football right now with Jameis Winston, quarterback for Florida State. He's being accused of sexual assault. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know what, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But friends, until that happened, until that accusation came out, and supposedly this happened last December, charges were never filed. But somebody let it leak to the media when this young man's name got put to the forefront of the Heisman race. His play has not suffered. He leads nearly every statistic, categorically speaking, for every quarterback in the nation. But because of something that was leaked to the media, now his reputation has been ruined. And guess who is no longer a front runner for the Heisman? Even though they demolished Florida yesterday. We don't know if what's being told on this young man is true or not. Now granted, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. Shouldn't have been participating in that to begin with. But friends, look at how quickly words can damage. This young man has gotten a label. Whether he may go to court, friends, and he may be found innocent. It may be found that this young woman was lying through her teeth. But friends, that's something that's going to stick with this young man forever. He will never be able to shake it. He will always be remembered for being accused of sexual assault. That's how damaging words can be. Vilify, and something will stick. Friends, listen to some inspired labels of those that are gossips. The Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 16 and verse 28 that they are whisperers. They like to do things in secret. They're sneaky. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 refers to them as talebearers. Friends, this is Satan's delivery system, isn't it? To bear tales about others? They're called backbiters in Romans 1 and verse 30. They're cowards. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, we might as well call them tattlers. They run and tell how little they don't know. They have to tell it. That's childish. Their mouth is bigger than their heart. Again, this is where it comes in, friends, that it may be as true as the sun coming up in the morning. But friends, if it doesn't edify and it doesn't build up, I just need to keep it to myself. And if it's something that the brother has done wrong, I'd better go to him myself rather than telling the whole congregation and everybody that will listen. I ought not be a tattler. My heart ought to be bigger than my mouth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, God calls them slanderers. That's the devil's language. What did the devil do to God, to his very face in Job 1 and 2? He slandered him, didn't he? That's the devil's language. We ought not use it. Gossipers, friends, are murmurers. They've always got something to complain about. Always got something to complain about. They're never content. They're never silent. And it's irritating like a buzzing mosquito. They're busybodies. Again, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Michael Lye put it like this. They're energetic meddlers. Energetic meddlers. Friends, quite frankly, now this isn't an inspired label, but friends, they're buzzards. They miss all the beauty and they look for rot. At least buzzards, and I won't do buzzards injustice here. I don't want to put a bad label on them, but at least buzzards wait until the victim is dead. They're mountain makers. They make mountains out of molehills. They make small things seem really big. James 3 says that the mouth shouldn't bring forth bitter and sweet. Friends, don't talk sweet to somebody's face and then talk bitter about them behind their back. That's not becoming of a Christian. Now, enough about the gospel. What about the target of gossip? What about the target of the gossip? Someone might say to you, you don't know it, but you're the talk of the town. What does that mean? What should that mean? Friends, if we are the target of gossip, then it seems that at some point that we have become someone's personal pinata. They try to hit on us and hit on us and hit on us until we break. Friends, as Christians, we cannot break. We have a shield in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more successful you may be, the more you're in the public eye, sometimes the worse it is. But friends, realize this. If you are the target of gossip, you're in good company. If you are the target of gossip, you are in good company. You see, the first target was God, Genesis chapter 3. He essentially told Adam and Eve, Satan did there, the serpent did, God is lying to you. You see, the first target of gossip was God. In Genesis 39, wasn't Joseph slandered? Here was a young man just trying to do what was right. He was trying to run the affairs of his master's household. And his master's wife tried time and time again to get Joseph to lay with her. He refused. As a matter of fact, he refused to be in her presence. And I'm guessing he went in the house this particular morning, not knowing that she was still there, whatever the case may have been. She caught him in the house, grabbed him by his jacket and said, "Lay with me." Joseph, being the smart young man that he was, he fled and left his coat there. But then she used that coat against him. Told her husband, "Look, I have his coat. He tried to force me." Was it true or not? Of course it was a lie. But who's the husband going to believe? His servant or his wife? So he throws Joseph into prison. Joseph was slandered. And Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron gossip about Moses because he married an Ethiopian. Now friends, let me stick on this point for just a moment, then we'll move on. I want to make this point. I saw a little bit of it while I was home in Tennessee, and it makes me sick. Racism. Friends, God, right here, He approved of the marriage of Moses and his wife. And I'll tell you right now that his wife was dark-skinned. You go and read the Song of Solomon. In the very first chapter, guess what you learn about his wife in the Song of Solomon? She was black. She herself said that her skin was blackened by the sun. Friends, there is no place in the church of our Lord for racism. No place at all. But in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron decided that Moses shouldn't be married to an Ethiopian. And so they began to talk about him and talk about his wife and berate him and tear him down. And I love God's response to that, don't you? It seems that Miriam was the instigator, and so she fell with leprosy and had to be taken outside of the camp. And she was not let back in, and she was not cured of her leprosy until she said, "I'm sorry. And it won't happen again. I realize that God's blessing is upon this marriage." Miriam and Aaron gossiped because he married an Ethiopian. But friends, God points plainly that they were wrong. In Numbers chapter 21, the people murmured that Moses had brought them out to die. God let them know again that Moses was his chosen leader. In Numbers chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6, it was rumored that Nehemiah was trying to set himself up as king in Jerusalem. Nehemiah put those rumors to rest. In Daniel chapter 6, folks conspired with one another to have Daniel tossed in the lion's den. They decided to trick the king. We notice at the end of Daniel 6, the king didn't take too kindly to that, did he? They were thrown in the lion's den for tattling on Daniel. In Luke chapter 7, the Pharisees smeared John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 7, again, they accused Jesus of being a gluttonous drunk and demon-possessed. But friends, note how men used their mouths against the Lord in His last day as well. Judas kissed him. Peter denied him. False witnesses blasphemed him. Pilate condemned him. Soldiers mocked him. Thieves cursed him. The mob ridiculed him. And the Roman centurion confessed him. But friends, what is the point of all that? What is the point of realizing that you and I are in good company if we become the target of gossip? Think about this. We must rise above it. Think about what these folks did. God was still God. Just because Satan had accused God of lying to Adam and Eve, God didn't change. God was still God. He promised them a Savior to come. And He did just that. Joseph rose, didn't he? He was cast into prison. He was left there a couple of years, no doubt. But he eventually rose to essentially become Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh didn't have to worry about a thing. He let Joseph handle it. Moses led, didn't he? The people murmured against him. His own brother and sister murmured against him, and yet he still continued to lead the people. And the Jews have always considered him to be a great leader. And he was just that. Moses still led. Daniel continued to serve. Daniel knew of the decree the king had put forward because he had been tricked, and yet what did he do? As his custom was, he went to his window to pray. He knew what would happen. Daniel continued to serve. John continued to do his duty. That is, making straight the way of the Son of God. John continued to preach. Jesus fulfilled the plan. He could have called, as we sing the song, He could have called 10,000 angels, and yet He stayed there upon the cross. Why? Because He loved you and me. You think about Paul. He had to defend. How many times did he have to defend his apostleship to the Corinthian brethren? Time and again. As a matter of fact, they said, you know, you're mighty in words while you're writing a letter, but you wouldn't say that to our face, Paul. Paul, in a manner of speaking, says, "You want to bet?" He basically tells the Corinthians that they better straighten up and fly a rod, or he's going to be coming to them with the rod instead of peace. Friends, what we see there in Paul is that his life before, he was reminded of it from time to time, I'm sure. When he used to be known as Saul, he was the hunter and then became the hunted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at everything that man endured. He endured slander. He endured gossip. He endured much worse. He endured being beaten, being stoned. And yet he continued to preach the Word of God. Friends, if we find ourselves as the target of gossip, remember, you're in good company. You stand with God at all costs. Rise above it. ask again, friend, this morning as we put away our Bibles and we take out our song books, ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Are you a gossip? My friends, if the answer to that question is yes on your part, would you change that this morning? Would you give your life over to God? You said we can't do these things on our own. Oftentimes I've studied with folks and people will tell me, I've heard it, I can't tell you how many times, that there are some things that I need to get straight in my life before I'm baptized. Friends, if you're one of those folks that thinks that you're not good enough right now to be saved, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, I want you to go home this evening, this afternoon. I want you to read the book of Acts. I want you to look at every one of those people that were converted in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 to begin, 3,000 people that lifted their voices together crying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." They were baptized that day. Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 that had led countless Christians to their deaths, he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Acts chapter 9 we read of Paul, of Saul of Tarsus being converted to Christ. I guarantee you, friends, there's not a single one of us here this morning that did the things that Saul did. And yet he obeyed the gospel. Friends, you can't straighten your life out on your own. That's impossible. You need to let Jesus help you. You need to let the Word of God help you. You need to let the family of God here at 9th and Main help you. So, friend, if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation call, would you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you put Him on in baptism, believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sin, confessing Him before those that are here this morning and then every day for the rest of your life, and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Would you do that this very morning? Friend, are you here having done that? Where do you find yourself this morning? Are you sitting on the fence post? Or are you sitting on the other side of the fence, friend? Or are you continuing in the fold of God? Friend, if you're on the fence post, if you're on the other side of the fence, come home. Be His again. Give your life to God once more. Concerning our subject this morning, friends, it is much better to be the target than the tailbearer. Don't be too thin-skinned. We can take things wrong and be hypersensitive. Friends, let me tell you this morning, as a Christian, take the chip off your shoulder and stop daring folks to knock it off. That's not a Christian. Don't take everything personally. If something that someone says to you can be taken four different ways, be sure you take it the best way. Give the person the benefit of the doubt. That's what a Christian does. Lighten up a bit. But friends, at the same time, endure when the abuse is real. Rise above it, as Joseph did, as God did, as Jesus did. Friend, if you're subject to the invitation this morning,